You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
One of our big banks in South Africa reported their results for the financial year ended December 2023. I'm referring to Standard Bank, of course, and I'm joined on the line by the company's group CEO to take a look at these results and just reflect on the performance. Good evening, Mr. Shabalala. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the overall sense of the numbers and how the company performed, a year of two halves, so to speak.
Yes, indeed, Jimmy. So the second half was tougher than the first half. But for the full year, we managed to generate earnings, headline earnings of 42.9 billion rand. That's 27% up, with a return on equity of 18.8%. And it's a tale of two cities, but also, if you like, it's a tale of a portfolio. You had South Africa at 16.8 billion rand, and then you had our Africa regions business generating 18.2 billion. So South Africa, 16.8, Africa regions sort of 18.2 billion. With Africa regions now bigger than South Africa in terms of earnings, and in total making up over 40% of our group, it's quite a remarkable outcome.
So looking at that, let's stick with Africa for a second. The concerns around regions like Nigeria and what's happened with the Nigerian Naira, I mean, obviously other operators, other South African firms, the likes of MTN that have exposure to the Nigerian market have really been struggling to contend with all of the developments in Nigeria. And obviously your business being starkly different from a telecoms provider means you have different sets of challenges. How are you finding the Nigerian environment, but also the rest of Africa? How is that looking for you as a business, given that it does account for so much of the earnings?
Jimmy, let's start again with the portfolio and start at a high level. Our East Africa region made 3.5 billion rand and they were up 45%. The South Central region, that's everything in the South but excluding South Africa, they made 8.4, they were 36% up. West Africa, which includes Nigeria, Ghana, DRC and Angola, they made 6.3 billion and they were 74% up. In that period, you had massive market dislocations, which I think is what you're alluding to. You had the authorities in Nigeria effecting a currency devaluation, trying to normalize the FX market, a process which is not complete yet. You had them removing fuel subsidies, which has caused social challenges. And it appears as if it's partly been reinstated. But importantly, in the last couple of weeks, you've seen the maturation of the monetary policy approach in the country, with interest rates being increased by 400 basis points. And then you've seen a devaluation. I think the Naira is roughly 1,600 to the dollar at the moment. You can see the authorities biting the bullet on monetary policy. They've also changed cash reserving requirements. They've increased them. And interestingly, they've released the excess cash reserving that we were forced to hold in the country. What does that tell you? It tells you that there's a path towards orthodoxy. Is it complete yet? No. Is there likely to be continued devaluation? Possible, but with this type of policy management, you could see a strengthening of the currency. Goldman Sachs reckons it could go to 1,200 if they continue with the disciplined monetary policy execution.
Sim, if we have a look at the rest of the operation, so let's zoom out of Africa for a little bit and just look at your global exposure, the business as a whole. You've modeled out a couple of scenarios in the financials around the bear scenarios, the bull scenarios, taking into account things like inflation, interest rates, or a whole bunch of other variables, and just where your expectations are sitting there. As a business and as a leading bank in South Africa and on the continent, where are you flagging some serious concerns? Obviously, the underlying things that we've had to contend with interest rates and all of that coming around, you're also looking at and expecting rate cuts at some point. You forecast 3 for South Africa, but where are you seeing concern from a banking perspective or from a client perspective, despite having grown your client base?
Jimmy, I think maybe to start by what one is seeing in the scenario planning for the group. So you're right. In the financial results, we set out for investors how we thought about the modeling that we do for providing for bad debts essentially. And for that purpose, we think about a base scenario, a bear scenario, and a bull scenario. And for South Africa, for the purposes of the base scenario, for the period end of December last year to end of December this year, we've sort of assumed real GDP growth. At the time we did the analysis, we assumed GDP growth of 1.43% for the base scenario. You'll quickly point out to me that our economists, though, are saying that they think that South Africa will grow at 1.2% in 2024. The reason they are different is that the analyses were done at different times.
Mm.
For Africa, regions, real GDP growth of roughly 4.9%. You'll again quickly point out to me that the IMF says that Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, will grow at 3.8% in 2024. My answer to you will be that these countries are the countries that I'm referring to are the ones where we operate as Standard Bank. Quickly then, when you think about the bear scenario, South Africa goes to a GDP of sort of minus 0.5%. The bull scenario, however, is GDP of 2%. For Africa regions, it's in the bear scenario, it's roughly 3%. In the bull scenario, it's 5.7%. Now, there's a lot, obviously, that goes into this. You could also think about what happens globally. You've got to think about what happens with geopolitics. Does the relationship between China and the U.S. deteriorate? And if it does, what implications has it got for inflation and interest rates and asset prices? The blockage in the Red Sea, if that deteriorates, what happens to inflation and so forth. So we've plotted all of those out. We've made assumptions, but we're still quite confident on the base scenario. Let me quickly add, because I'm sure you're going to ask me, do we change our base scenario given our thinking around elections in South Africa? The answer is no. We stay on the base scenario. Yeah.
All right. So the base scenario takes into account a lot of different permutations and factors that could affect that. Are you seeing any concerns from your credit impairment business? You touched on this a little earlier when we started looking at this, and I've seen the competitors in your space and in the banking space flagging that credit impairments are a concern for them. They're seeing an increase in that. You guys have been very prudent in how you've managed that up to now. I imagine going forward, that won't change anytime soon.
Well, they call the big blue conservative for good reason. and frankly, Jimmy, the one statistic that I think should stick in your mind is that we got balance sheet provisions of 64 billion rand. I mean, just think how many listed companies that would be. 64 billion rand on our balance sheet. So we think that we are well provided. Our coverage ratios are very, very good, and we're pretty confident. But like our competitors, we're dealing with the same competitive environment. Our clients are suffering from, high inflation, which is declining. We reckon that it'll be 5% in 2024. But the year 2023, people had, suffered high inflation and salary increases that in some instances were below the inflation rate. So high inflation, high interest rates as a consequence of the monetary tightening by the South African authorities gives rise to a tough environment and job losses in certain segments resulting in higher bad debts. We think that bad debts are peaking as inflation goes to 5% declines, as interest rates improve, as jobs continue to improve in the country, the bad debts will follow. Just let me just point this out. The balance sheet of South African retail clients are stronger now than they were during previous cycles at similar times. Things like the debt to disposable income ratio or the installment to income ratio, disposable income ratio, are actually better during the cycle than they've been.
So let's stick with the provisions conversation for a second. That's quite a healthy provision you have there. And obviously, a prudent approach is what keeps the balance sheet as strong as it is. And to that point, Moody's adjusted the deposit ratings that they had on 7 of the banks in South Africa, Standard Bank being one of those banks. Your thoughts around just how Moody's and the global landscape is shaping up, particularly as it relates to financial institutions like yours?
You know, at the end of the day, one has to look at the actual statistics. Look at the level of capitalization of Standard Bank. We've got, you know, 277 billion rand in equity, in capital. We liquid. Our provisions are solid, as I described to you. The quality of our client base is good. Our risk management framework works. And I think shareholders and depositors are adequately rewarded for the risks that they take in us. So I think we are fine.
We'll leave it at that, Sim. Thanks so much for those insights. I look forward to catching up with you as we reflect on the interims of 2024. But for now, that was Sim Shabalala, who is the Group Chief Executive at Standard Bank, joining me to reflect on the financial performance of the 2023 financial year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.